We give God the glory. We
Blog
praise
Talk Radio.
The... Today is the day that we give God the praise, the glory, and to thank Him for all He has done for us. Moreover, we pray that God will keep us, and tonight is a special night, as it is with all of the listeners. And I have a lady, I'm going to introduce her to yourself to you, a woman of God. Tracy, are you there?
I'm here.
Go right ahead.
Good evening. And welcome to Pearls of Power. My name is Tracy Harding, and I am the host for this evening. The topic that I've decided to discuss on is we're victors in Christ, more than conquerors. And we're going to talk tonight about the flesh versus the spirit. Last week we covered topics on how we can counterattack attacks that come at us against the enemy. But what I have discovered is what use do we have with weapons that we have if we're not willing to obey what God is teaching us? We have to be willing. And we have to know as Christians that we are more than conquerors. The battle is already ours, that we are more than conquerors. God can give us the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the preparation of the gospel of peace. He can give us all of this armory and this instrument, but if we do not want to change, and if we do not want the victory, if we do not know and understand that we have already won, then we're already defeated before we get started. And so we have to understand more than ever, get it in our hearts and in our minds, that we are already conquerors. We are more than conquerors. In Romans 8, the Bible of Paul speaks about the flesh.
Yes.
And more than anything, more than the devil, because the devil can't do anything to us. He can tempt us. But the ultimate choice in the decision is ours. Okay, and so what we have to understand is that the battle is within ourselves. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. And Paul says in Romans, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, that really sounds complicated, but what Paul is saying in a nutshell is there are times he found himself doing the things that he didn't, doing things he did not want to do, that he know was against God's law. And then at times he have found himself doing things that he wanted to do, but rather he wanted to do and he didn't do it. And he exclaimed in Romans, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death?" Now, we're talking about Paul, okay, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament. I'm talking about a man that has gone down in history as one of the greatest leaders in the New Testament. He's saying that he discovered that he struggled in his own flesh with doing God's will at times and with obedience and disobedience. And so if Paul had this struggle, how much more are we going to have the same struggle? But He lets us know, he gives us hope, and he goes on with his dialogue, and he lets us know that there is hope, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and that I can do all things through Christ. It is Christ in me.
Amen.
And it is Christ in you. It is Christ in us. It is not just willpower. Willpower has place, and it can only take us so far. But it is the power of God in us unto salvation. Now, when the Bible speaks of the word flesh, he's speaking of the carnal nature of humanity, our passions, our lusts, our appetites. Okay, it's the lower part of man is me. What I want, what can satisfy me, what can you do for me? How can I be satisfied today? That is our lower nature, and which the Bible calls the flesh. And that is that part of us that we have to deal with daily. Romans 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. So that lets me know that if we're going to be victorious, it begins on our decisions and on our mind, and it begins on the inside, in our hearts. We have to make up in our mind that we're going to walk with the Lord. We have to want to walk with Him. The Bible says that as we behold, we become changed. And so the more we look at Christ and behold Him and absorb Him and meditate upon Him, we will begin to want Him more and desire Him more. His desires will become our desires. And so it's in our thought life that God wants us to understand that we have to redirect our minds on the things of Christ. We have to redirect our minds on the things of the Spirit, because it really starts in the mind. Our thoughts are seeds. Our thoughts are seeds that can germinate and produce fruits of evil or fruits of good. It starts in the mind. You see someone, they look nice. Okay, if you don't think about that anymore, you go on about your business, you're safe. You see someone, they look nice, and you start dwelling on, oh, how beautiful they are, oh, their skin is so radiant, and oh, their form is so beautiful, and oh, you know, and you get carried away with that in your thoughts. Well, what's going to happen after a while? After a while, you're going to act upon that thought.
Yes.
So it begins in our mind. And it's with our flesh. It begins in our mind. So this is a daily and a, let me tell you something. It's a daily and a lifelong process that that we have to take control of our thoughts. The Bible says to cast down any high our imaginations and any high thing that sets itself against the obedience of Christ. And this is a lifelong process. As long as we're in this world. And this lower state of humanity as far as our flesh, this is something that we have to deal with. But we can do all things through Christ. Remember that. We can do all things through Christ. It is not impossible, because I can do all things through Christ. The mind is very powerful, and God knows that. But we are to guard our thoughts and to be spiritually minded. So that the Bible says in 8:14 that Romans 8:14 says those led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Okay, those that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. We are to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. So here God is giving us our answer to not living in the flesh. He says, okay, then you are to be spiritually minded, and you are to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Well, what does that mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? So to walk in the Spirit is, to make it plain, it's just obeying the unction of the Holy Ghost, obeying the leading of the Spirit. That is plain and simple 2014. Walking in the Spirit is obeying the Holy Spirit when He gives you a command, when He gives you an order, when He gives you a direction. You just do it. That is plain and simple. That is what it means to walk in the Spirit. Now, the Bible tells us, now you need to know something, okay? Because the Bible, God says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. So the question arises, you may ask, the question may be in your head, well, you know, I don't never hear the Holy Spirit leading me.
Well,
that could mean one of two things. Now, both of them are not good. It could mean that you're not saved, okay? It could be the Spirit of God doesn't reside in you. And that's why you don't hear. That could be a possibility. And then the second reason is because you have you don't hear him because you have quenched the Holy Spirit to the point where he is muffled and at a distance, and now you have drowned him out and you can't hear him. Now that is also a possibility. So the possibility number one, not being saved, we can get that done at the end of this program. We can just ask us to come into your heart, because you have to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You have to have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God must be dwelling inside of you. That is the seal of God. That is the Holy Spirit is our guarantee that we are sons of God and that we have eternal life. So that is just not something you can bypass. And that is proof that that Christ is ours and we are his. So we can deal with that at the end of the show if you're not saved. Now, but if you are saved and you're not hearing the Spirit, then it could be, according to Ephesians 4:30, that you have grieved the Holy Spirit so much. And according to 1 Thessalonians 5:19, that you have quenched the Spirit to the point where you just don't hear him anymore. And that can happen, because Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And if 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Now, let me explain to you what these two things mean. To grieve, first of all, grieve is an emotion. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's the third person of the Godhead. And so to grieve the Holy Spirit, that means he's feeling great sorrow. He's feeling pain. It hurts him. It grieves him. It hurts him. It's an ache to him when he asks you to do something and you don't do it. That's what grieve means. It means that the Holy Spirit had asked you, grieving is when you're doing something repetitively and the Holy Spirit has asked you not to do it. And he's seen you in this sin, or in this act of disobedience, which is sin, same thing, and you will not stop doing it. He's seen you doing it, and you continue to do it. That grieves God. That bothers him. You're his child. It would be the same thing. It is the same thing as if I'm seeing my child sitting there smoking crack, and I'm telling my child, don't smoke crack. That's not good for you. And I'm seeing them smoke their life away, smoke their lungs away, smoke their future and their hope away, smoke their integrity away. That's what hurt me, okay? But that is what the Bible says when you're grieving the Holy Spirit, when he's telling you not to do something and you're doing it anyway. Now, to quench the Holy Spirit is similar. It is to quench. Imagine a fire that's blazing. You douse water on it. You just put the fire out. That is what quench means. The Holy Spirit is telling you to do something, like go and give that person $50, or go and ask that person, can you pray for them? Or you see that person over there, go in and ask that person to invite them over for dinner. The Holy Spirit has just told you to do something, and you didn't do it. You have put out the fire. That is quenching the Holy Spirit. Now, when you repeatedly do these things, the Spirit of the Lord is telling you to do or not to do something, and you're constantly being disobedient, well, what do you think is going to happen? Well, I mean, eventually you're just not going to be able to hear because of your disobedience. That's all it is to it. So as a Christian, and you're sure that God lives inside of you, and you're not hearing from God, you're not hearing the Holy Spirit, you need to check to see if you're actually just have been walking in disobedience. I mean, that's just the bottom line. It doesn't get any plainer than that. So, walk with the Spirit and you obey the Spirit's leading. When you, to walk, so simply, to walk with the Spirit, again, is to obey the Spirit. Do what the Spirit of God is leading you to do. Now, listen. So, the question, the next question would be, well, how does the Spirit lead? Well, most of us know that the Spirit leads by that still, small voice, but there are different ways the Holy Spirit can lead. He can lead by that still, small voice that leads up that's on the inside of you. It's just a whisper, you know, a soft whisper. And when you hear that, you obey. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we can be so rattled, the hustle and bustle of our life. Really, really just the hustle and bustle and the get up and go and the bills and the boss and the kids and the whatever, that there's so much noise going on that we cannot hear. And so it's very important to sometimes get in a place of solitude and silence, and that's why meditation and prayer is so important, because it seals and calms the soul, okay? So how does the Spirit lead? The Spirit leads through a still small voice. He leads by the Word of God.
Amen.
He leads us because the Word of God says, and God says in John 16:13 that He promises to lead us into all truth. This is a promise. If you really want to be led by the Spirit, let me tell you something. He's going to lead you. He gives, and the Holy Spirit gives us personal, tailored direction, okay? Personal, tailored direction, individual to what you're going through and your circumstances and your situation, all the way down to today, I want you to fast for half a day. What did he tell all of the Christians in the world to fast for half a day? Maybe not, but he told you that, and maybe he told you that for a reason. So he gets very personal with us in our leadings, and we're not to question him. We can question him, but we are to obey him. Okay. Another way that the Spirit leads us is through the peace that we have. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule into your heart." Rule in your heart. Now, what does that mean? You ever try to make a decision or a choice and it just didn't fit right? It just didn't feel right. You knew this is not right. I don't know about it. Well, that could be the Holy Spirit telling you no. This is not it. I had several things where I knew that I was not supposed to do something and I wanted to do it, and I didn't have peace about it. I did not have peace about it, because that was the Holy Spirit. That's another way. If you can't get settled in your heart, then maybe you need to pause before you make that decision and go and pray over it some more and ask God to remove your will and your stubbornness and your way, and help you to make the right choice. Pray until you have peace about it, okay? Because that is one of the ways that God leads you through whether or not you have peace or not. Okay, so if you can't, you can't hear the Holy Spirit, it is probably because there is an area in your life that you're just not being obedient. There was a point in my life where I was thinking, you know, Lord, if I could hear you, you know, I would obey you. If I could hear, you know, I just need to hear you more clearly. If I could hear you more clearly, I would obey you. And the Word of God came to me, prophetic word came to me. The Lord told me that if you will obey me, then you will hear me clearer.
Amen.
And you know, I thought that was backwards when I heard it. Yeah. I'm trying to say, God, if I could hear you, I would obey. The word of the Lord came to me, well, if you would obey me, then you would hear me. So this is how I'm telling you, how I know what I'm talking about, because I've been through this, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect in this area. I'm still working this out. But I'm simply saying you from experience, this is what the Lord told me, if you obey me, then you hear me. It's all about obedience, that disobedience somehow muffles the spirit realm. You just can't hear it clearer. But when you start obeying God, he will become more clearer and clearer and clearer. So we have to realize that it is disobedience that we can't hear his voice. And we can extinguish the voice of God through our disobedience. It doesn't mean that God is not talking to us. God is talking. He's always talking. But because many times we want to do what we want to do, we find out why we can't hear him. We're extinguishing and quenching and grieving to the point that we can't hear him. So we need to tune our ears, our spiritual ears, and we need to tune our hearts and to hear God's voice. And that's another word that God gave me years ago. He said to tune your heart and your ears to hear my voice. He told me that. And so I'm telling that to you. You need to, it's a process. You need to tune your heart and your ears to hear God's voice.
Yes, it is.
That means that we have a part to play in walking in the Spirit. That part is called our will, our life. We can choose. It's not all about, the Spirit can lead, but we have to choose. We have to give God our desires and our passions and our lusts. We have to turn that over to him. We have to want to. The Bible says that, and that's a promise in the Bible, and this should be our prayer. This should be our daily prayer. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. That should be our daily prayer. We should start our prayers off. That should be in our daily prayers every day. That is not what I want. Lord, this day it is what you want. I want what you want. In Philippians 2:13, there is a promise that says it is God that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, this is a very important verse, and we should pray this over our lives each and every day. And what it says is when you don't want to do it, you can ask God to change your want to. You don't want to stop what you're doing? This is the verse for you. God, you said that you will work on my will. You will work on my want to. And not only will you work on my want to, but you will also give me the ability to actually carry out that new desire. God can give us new desires. There is nothing too hard for God. Now, that may seem strange to you, but God can even change your desires. It's right here in the scriptures, Philippians. Go read that. I advise you to go read that and meditate on Philippians 2:13. For it is God that worketh in us to will and to do. That means God will work in you to change your desire, and when he changes your desire, he'll also enable you to walk out the new desire that he has now placed in your heart. Hallelujah. That's a beautiful promise right there, and it is for every believer. There is no excuse for the child of God to be walking in defeat, because there are so many scriptures in the Bible that tells us that we are more than conquerors. That God, he says that even if you don't want to, I'll change your want to. We just don't have any excuse. We don't have any excuse to live a defeated Christian life. It's all in our mind. it's all in if we really want to change, and it's all in our decision to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, and whether we know the promises of God, that it depends on that too. Because if you don't know that you're more than a conqueror and that you're Christ has given you victory, if you don't know these things, you know, what good is it? And God wants you to know this because he wants you to live the victorious Christian life. There is nothing that is coming against you, or there's nothing that you're in that God can't bring you out of. I don't care what it is. It could be crack addiction. You know, it could be pornography that you've been struggling with for the last 20 years. That can be stopped tonight. I'm telling you, there were things in my life I never thought and dreamed that God would give me the victory over, but he did because I wanted it, and I didn't stop. That is why the Bible says, let me tell you, that is why the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There is something for us to do, because you can be a Christian. God, the power of God residing right there inside of you, and you're getting defeated each day. Because you're not using the tools that God has given you. You don't know the power that resides on the inside of you. You don't know the victory that has already been won for you, and you're being defeated. God wants us to work each day. Each day we should be, before we leave our house, we should prepare ourselves and equipping ourselves. This is serious, because you sit in church and you look at those that are living victorious, those that God has blessed and prospers, and you say, well, why is it happening to me? Well, it's not happening to you because you're not doing what God has told you to do. You think it's a joke. You think it's not serious, so it's not real. And so the good word of God passes through your ears Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, Monday after one Monday, and you're not applying it to your life, and then you wonder why you don't have victory. Do you think that God wrote this sick book because he didn't have anything else to do? This Bible is for our edification, for our correction, for our instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect and entire, wanting or lacking no good thing. Okay, so if you're living a defeated life, I declare to you that it doesn't have to be tonight. You can have your life turned around. You can turn your life around tonight and live the victory that God wants you to have in Christ Jesus. We just have to know that it is available to us. I just want you to know that you can do all things through Christ. Jesus said that whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are good report, if there is any virtue, any praise, think on these things. The battle is in our mind. The world even knows that if they can get your mind, they can get your pocketbook, they can get your thoughts, they can get your support. It's all in your mind. Turn your mind towards the things of God. Be spiritually minded and watch and see that as you behold the beauty as it is in the Word of God, you will become changed. I'm down to my last minute, and I just want you to know that you can have victory right now. You can have victory right now in your life if you just believe. Many times we hear these things, but we don't believe. Ask God to reveal himself to you and his power in your life, and to turn your life around. To turn your life around. Now, let me tell you something. As a Christian, if you are the same today that you were 10 years ago, you've been a Christian for 10 years, and you're the same today that you were 10 years ago, something is wrong, and you need to sit down and reevaluate yourself. But I'm going to close right there. Those 30 minutes were up there real quick. But I want to say that if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you right now. All you need to do is to repeat these words after me, but mean it in your heart. Mean it. Mean it. Lord Jesus, I want the abundant life. I believe that you are the Savior. Come into my heart, dear Lord. Fill me. I want to be born again. I want to be born again. I ask, Lord, that when you come again, that you will come and receive me also. Write my name in the book of life. Jesus, I make you my Lord and my Savior, and I thank you for dying for me on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So that concludes Pearls of Power. And if anyone wants to comment, come on in, chime in right now. I really enjoyed myself, and I really hope that people were fed and got something out of tonight's teaching. Amen.
Well, we got some people online. I'm going to open it up. If they got some questions they want to ask you, we're going to let God be the judge. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Ooh,
praise God.
Jesus. There's a question, dear sister. You want got a question or statement? Amen.
It's all good. It's all good.
It's all good.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Do you have a statement or a comment you'd like to say, sister?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you
hear me? Yes.
Okay. I was just saying, yes, I do. The thing about it is, you know, the world is suffering and don't even know it. They suffering and don't even know it for the word of God. Most of our generation now, they don't know God. They don't know who the Holy Spirit is. They don't know the power of God because it's not being taught to them. And the carnal mind is, they're not going to hear the Holy Spirit anyway. Even we as believers have to constantly pray daily. And even sometimes with work and home and everything else, our mind gets cluttered. So we have to have a reminder, you know. But the thing about it, I just want to say that I truly enjoyed it. And it's just that's a word out for those who are seeking after more than just the world, you know, because the world has nothing to offer. And if people don't get in tune with God, if they don't get in tune with God, they'll never know who he really is and who the Holy Spirit is and what he can do. And you know, God brought Israel out of Egypt with mighty power.
Yeah.
You know, with big power.
Yes, it did.
You know, but the generation now, they don't know anything about him. That's why so much is going on. And I look at it and I say, Lord, you know, the world is suffering for you. They're suffering, you know, for the word of God, because they don't know him. And it's so sad, because when we were coming up, the older generation taught us, the Bible said, teach your children and your children's children. Nobody's teaching them. They think God is some kind of magic man, that when they call, he should, you know, he should answer when they call, you know, and it's not like, so, you know, but I truly enjoyed it, and I thank you for it. I thank you for that reminder, that word, because it's true.
Yes, it is. And the world, thank you, sister, so very much. And the world is looking for signs. They need to know the power of God, you know, and the power, I believe that a revival is coming. The world is searching for more than just a bunch of jive talk. And I just believe that a revival is going to break out and come forth with power.
Amen. Amen.
And it's going to cause people to turn to that altar and cry on that altar and ask God, Lord, what must I do to be saved? That's the type of revival that I'm looking for.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's go back and ask the question to everybody that's listening. Where does the revival start? How and when?
Amen. The revival is going to start in Hempstead, Texas, the 20th and 21st of March. It's going to be in Hempstead at 1236 New Orleans Street in Hempstead, Texas. And God is already on food. He's already doing a great work. He's already began a great revival. Already. So we're just excited about it, and we're giving God all the glory in advance.
Yes.
Now, you talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Tell the people how you know that it is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, my God. I tell you what. The revival, like I said, has already started. And the reason why I know is because, like I said again, what he performed at the Dairy Queen with that young lady when the Holy Spirit led Dr. Hunter to tell her that she wanted to be a doctor, and he had more things to tell her but couldn't tell her then, and she rejoiced. And she went and got her friends and said, hey, look, come over here because he can tell you about himself. About yourself, and she went and got a friend, you know, and then not only that, as we began to pray, one of the sisters' mother-in-law was sick, and we began to pray, and as we were praying, I could see the lady's body turn toward the wall, and when her daughter-in-law came in, she said, well, you're absolutely right, she was laying on her side and turned toward the wall. Then we just kept praying. They called back. They had been already prepared for a funeral. They was getting ready for a funeral. Already they called. All the family members was in getting ready for the funeral. And we kept praying, and the next couple of days they said, well, she got up and kissed two of her children. Then a few days later, she was sitting up in the bed eating, and they had prepared for a funeral. And, man, God is the Holy Spirit is already on. A great revival has already started.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm like you, sister. That's what I've been looking for. I said, I'm tired of cold, dead churches. Nothing happening.
Nothing. Yes.
I mean, the revival has already started. Amen.
Amen. Now, I know this much, Teacher Tracy.
Yes.
In order for somebody that's listening to us tonight, when we identify with God moving to us, we also can say these words. It is can be applied to our spirit person, to our mind, to our body. The lesson you taught tonight was so full of power and fire. But I know this much. Tracy, I say to you, the name of Jesus Christ, the work that God has for you supersedes what you're doing now. Because God has called all of us to do a great work. We have to pray one for another. Believe one for another. Because the enemy wants to come in. And I'm telling everybody, the enemy can't do nothing unless you let him.
Amen.
See, one of the things I was saying while we're on the radio, because a lot of people said, there are a lot of people on this line right now, they won't even answer. I got the lines open. But I want to say this much. The only way you're going to get to know Jesus Christ, you got to come and accept. To know God, you got to come and accept his son. Jesus said it. He said, no man can get to the Father except he come by me.
By me. You say it again.
Yes.
Yes.
See, and a lot of these, I call it, well, I'm not meddling, I'm not making fun, but I want to stay into the context of the Holy Spirit, because I know what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. We're moving, every one of them on this video are moving by F-A-I-T-H.
Amen.
Faith is not seen. Faith is not felt.
Faith is knowing faith is faith.
Amen.
Because we ask God, God, where you come from? And God can respond to you as he did to me. I spoke myself into existence. Okay, hold it on, hold it on, hold it on. No, no, I can't deal with that. I know you got I know you spoke yourself into existence, all that I see around you. But I want you to do one thing. Satisfy my soul with your presence. Let me drink on your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
That's what the desire of all of us should be. Because I'm telling you what God is doing. Not only has God started a revival in Hempstead, God has started a revival he started a revival in California. He started a revival in New Jersey, in Georgia, in Ohio, because these persons contact with me said, what can we do? I said, well, Duke, like I tell everybody, trust God.
Amen.
Stay close to God. Take his word. As Teacher Tracy was saying, you got to know that you know, because see, it ain't a plain thing. It's a right thing. And when you keep leading yourself to God and say, God, I don't know you, but I want to know you. God will do it, but you got to be willing to hear what. See, Tracy can be the one God sent to somebody and have them speak a word. They got to hear Tracy. But you know what? Old flesh gonna say, I don't want to talk to old Tracy because I know Tracy from a long time ago. And she would, no. If you take another look at Tracy, at Dr. Blow, if you take another look at Brother Hunter, you take another look at another lady on the phone, you're going to see God's movement because it should be a burned out. When God moves like he says he's going to move, and everybody, I know this much tonight. I'm going to say this. It's now. It is now. It is now. It is now. When we look around and see what's going on over there in Russia, one country goes in and invade another country. But they got people praying, because yesterday at the church, the pastor preached about from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and how Jehoshaphat was a man of God. But God began to deal with him. But he had to pray, because he said, Father, the same people that you had them to go against, put them out of the way, they back again trying to take over. So look at Russia. It was broken up and got people out there praying. I'm real about this. Do you think the world cares that we pray for them or not? No. But it's incumbent upon us to know. Those of us who have the faith, those of us who have heard God through the teaching, what she said tonight, and I'm a listener. I just sit and just, I give me the holy spoon, the holy cup, holy napkin, and start just, everything I can soak up, I try to soak it up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I know this much. I know it's quiet on the radio tonight, because I've asked God, because I want God to do something for all of us, starting with the teacher tonight, because I know what God's doing through Tracy. I know what he's doing through you, Dr. McClendon. I know what God's doing. I know what God's doing with Mother on the line with us. I know what God's doing. How do I know? Because we're praying for God to enact in our spirits that we will become H-U-M-B-L-E. Because the enemy will come and slap you. Don't mean you got to slap him back. You ain't got to slap him back. All I can tell you is do what Jesus said. Turn the cheek. If you go back to 2 Chronicles 20, you're going to find God told Jehoshaphat, don't worry about them. The battle is not yours. It's mine.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So all we got to do is believe God. No, they ain't treating me right on the job. They doing it. No. I had a person come the other day says, you said to pray for me. Look, they didn't come and ask me, can I do this? And I said, no. I said, don't even fall for that slickster movement, because the enemy always trying to get up close to you, as she was teaching. The enemy tries to reach out and find weakness. And you got to make sure, when you got to make sure that you, and I'm going to tell you the best secret I've ever known. And when the devil comes in and threatens me, you know what he always try to do? He always try to get my thinking off of the principles of God. And Satan get busy. And he tried to infiltrate with the FLESH. See, the FLESH is DEAD.
Amen.
When Paul said, he said, all things that I used to have, he said, I count them as D-U-N-G. Gone. As I might gain the excellency of Jesus Christ. All of that degrees I had, call me this, he said, I lost all of that I might gain the excellency of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Jesus said it. No man, black or white, rich or poor, gets to see my Father, except they come by me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. 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 That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, you mean I can't get to see God unless I see Jesus? No. What I got to do? You need to repent. You need to bow down, come and say, Lord, you said Jesus, I'm here. I need what you have for me. And see, when I read the word, and the word is so powerful until it penetrates slow and sure. Now, tonight when Tracy came on, she talked about, we're going to talk about in what is going on with the FLESH, the flesh. Do you not know the flesh is going to die? But the Holy Spirit not that undergirded. See, that's why ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Dust to dust.
The flesh has no life. It's only life because the Spirit is there. It's only there because the Spirit. And God wants us to come and confine within Him. I don't need to do all the talking. Somebody else got something to say, because I tell you, I'm just full of joy for what God is doing. Amen. Tracy?
Yes, sir.
I know there's more teaching you got. And we're just going to believe God, and we're going to thank God for what He's doing in you. And see, when you got people on the line and you try to get them to see something, all we can do is just pray for them. So, Tracy, would you take a prayer before all of us? Amen?
Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We come before you, Lord, with thanksgiving in our heart. For you are our God. And our hope is in you. And we're waiting on you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We're waiting. We're trusting, Lord.
Trusting
that you're going to come again and receive
yes.
us to yourself, that
yes.
where you are, there we will also be. That is
yes.
our great hope, Lord, that our struggles
yes.
here on this earth are not in vain. That we daily, we wrestle, Lord, daily, Lord, because we know that there is something greater for us.
Yes,
that
yes.
eyes have not seen nor ears heard,
yes.
neither has it entered into our thoughts what you have prepared for us. And I trust and I wait on that, Lord, that blessed hope for all
yes.
believers. I thank you, Most High God, that daily more men and women will be added to the faith as a
yes.
result of our faithfulness. Help us
yes.
not to grow weary in well-doing, Lord, but to continue to speak your word, to
yes.
continue to compel men and women to come to you, those that are without hope, Lord. They're blind and deaf and in darkness and don't even know it, Lord. And help us, Lord, to be faithful and caring
faithful.
Enough to witness to people, Lord, as often as we can. I pray that you will expand this radio program, Most High God, that the listener base will continue to expand and increase, Most High God, that the word of God will go out, Lord, over the highways and the hedges, from shore to shore. I pray,
yes.
Most High God, that this broadcast station will go over the radio waves and the television broadcast station. In Jesus' name, I just pray, Lord, that you would touch hearts and minds, that the word of God will fall on good ground tonight, Lord. The word that was spoken will be planted in hearts, and it will take fruit, take root and bear fruit, Most High God, that people's lives will be changed, and people will draw near, and people will say no to the flesh by saying yes to you, that people will fall on their faces before you, Lord, to receive that refreshing, to receive that renewing, to receive that new wind, that second wind, that power that is necessary to walk the victorious Christian life. In Jesus'
yes.
name, I pray that we will walk by faith, that we will believe you as a faithful Abraham. Abraham believed God. Ned B.
Yes.
That Dr. Hunter believed God, that Tracy believed God, that Dr. McClendon believed God, and it was accounted unto us for righteousness because we obeyed what we heard. In Jesus' name, I pray for the blessing of God. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, Lord, for your people. Lord, I pray for world peace. I pray that there will not be a third world war, that Russia and the Ukraine and the United States and the relative countries will not go to war again. That is something that we do not need. And in Jesus' name, I pray for peace.
Peace.
I pray for peace.
Peace.
I pray for peace. I pray that you would give
peace.
Our political leaders wisdom, Lord Jesus, in this trying hour, this very crucial and critical hour, Lord. I pray you would give our world leaders wisdom to withhold back any motive, Lord, that is not godly, to withhold back firing on each other, to withhold back, Lord, another war that is not necessary. In Jesus' name, I pray that peace will be sustained. We will sustain peace, Lord Jesus, that peace will be, that I speak peace over our world right now
yes.
in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I thank you.
Amen.
And for answering and hearing my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And I will say this tonight. The goodness of God supersedes us all. And my beloved sisters and brothers out there in KESK Radio, some people say, what does KESK mean? Knowing acquired scripture knowledge. Knowing acquired scripture knowledge. Knowing acquire scripture knowledge. To know of God is to know what God has put to you. To know that God has shown you. To know God is present for you. To know that he's there for you. Because when you have acquired his word, you have let it download into your spirit, into your understanding, to what you ask God for. And when you go there and just know
because you know that you know that you know that you know. God said, did I not do it? Can I not do it again? He said, I did it again, because all God will do. God says, I am that I am. And besides me, there is none other. And I say this tonight to us as we get to come to a close another Monday night, because there's much to be done tonight. To those who believe, to the ones who listen, we pray for you. But you say, ASK, when you get that K, knowing, acquired, scripture knowledge, just understand, you get the knowledge, you get knowledge. You know of something. You know about something. You understand something. That's why when Tracy was teaching tonight, she was talking about, how do you know that you know that you know? Because it's the K-E-N-O-L-E, knowledge. You go and you ask God through Jesus Christ. Angels on assignment. God has help for us. He has some. God has given us help. We read Psalms 89, correction, 91, verses 11 and 12. He said, no evil shall befall thee of thy dwelling place. And I've given my angels charge to watch over you. Now, when you know you got the KESK knowledge, you know you got the angels. And the angels came down, they says, when Jesus was born on the earth, the whole host of heaven angels came down, said, glory be to God, and peace on earth. Good God Almighty, can you see yourself in that picture? And the angels just look like they just moved on back into heaven. But they come to make the announcement. And the announcement been made. He's here. He's here. And he's ready. Anybody else got anything else to say before we close out there? Amen. I want to thank God for everybody. And remember my words. I always say, I love you. I love you. I love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen.
Amen.
Till the next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. And I love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
B63H03, Healing Scriptures.
I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26, chapter, the 3rd verse, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants and they bare children. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 9th verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147, 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 41:3, the Lord will strengthen them upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11, hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11. If ye then being evil know to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Or the margin reads, surely he hath borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14, and then chapter 2, verses 10 and 15, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus the 20th chapter and the 12th verse, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90:10. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10 through 16. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come by thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For a length of days, and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he turned her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye not able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But Jesus knew it. He withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of it, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Capus, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the matter any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they asked him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly, that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, Let the children be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose. And he spake plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft time it is cast into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16-21, And he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou, Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was with him. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew the thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Then in Luke, the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse, And he came down with them, and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Then in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 17, And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her. And immediately she was made straight, glorifying God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men are to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him, and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we shall read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had made himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come up unto thee. Then in the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and watched, and came, seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Acts the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his seat, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom all he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, and things or beings in earth, and things or beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, Mark, the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Acts, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be given unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, now notice that, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together to them. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, By what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was still standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that are in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Then Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. Your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and then verses 9 through 21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So then faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians 2, 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 6, 14. For sin, or Satan, shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Then Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 8, 16. When even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. Seeing then that I have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Or the margin reads, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession, or again the margin reads, confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that as ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. That the communication of thy mouth may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Joel chapter 3, verse 10. Let the weak say, I am strong. I want to read Deuteronomy chapter 28, reading the entire chapter, and then Galatians chapter 3, also reading the entire chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee over and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. It shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth. No man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no night or no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. Thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore spot that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other. Thou shalt become an astonishment, and a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry seed out of the field, shall gather but little in, for the locusts shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor eat the grape, for the worm shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for the olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart from the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, to thy land, until thou be destroyed. Which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee at all thy gates, until thy high and fenced wall come down, wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in seeds, and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother, and towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children which he shall leave. That he shall not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he had nothing left him in the siege, and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the seeds and straightness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, sore sicknesses and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even to the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. The Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and fading of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night. And thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Now then I'll read from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, and reading the whole chapter. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. If it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I want you to notice that according to these scriptures, and specifically Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring or permit to be brought upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, there are a number of diseases that are listed here. But then he also adds every sickness. So therefore you can say, my sickness, whatever it is, cancer, tuberculosis, anemic, mental distress, whatever your sickness is, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, my sickness is a curse of the law. Now notice Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now here's what I want you to confess. I want you to say it over and over and over again to yourself. Say it out loud if you're by yourself. Say it quietly to yourself if someone else is with you. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, now name your sickness, cancer, tuberculosis, kidney trouble, liver trouble, whatever it is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from sickness, and specify your sickness. In other words, I'll give you an illustration. We'll just call it cancer. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, cancer, is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, he's redeemed me from the curse of sickness. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from cancer. All right, we'll just say your trouble is a stomach ulcer. All right, say this then. My sickness, or ulcer, stomach ulcer, is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28:61. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from ulcers of the stomach. Now, say, for instance, your condition is a blood disease. You see, according to Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, my blood disease is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from blood disease. I just gave that to you as an illustration. Whatever your sickness is, call it a curse of the law. Confess it's a curse of the law. Then confess Galatians 13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from sickness. Specify your sickness. Now, I want you to do that. I want you to listen to these two chapters, Galatians 3, Deuteronomy 28, over and over again. And then at every waking moment, all night long, all day long, continue to make the confession. Therefore, I am redeemed from, and specify your sickness.
For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org or write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office 335 Station B, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.
I'm Kevin.
Yeah, I'll be back the next time. Tomorrow.